Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
From the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. Oh, blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Friends, we've got a special treat today. Father Stephen Imbarato is joining us to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy today. So, Father Stephen, please take it away.
In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasure of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent. With great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Jesus,
amen.
Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
Pope St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
Okay, friends, we're going to talk about the saint of the day for today, which is St. Catherine de Ricci. And she was born around 1522. Her birth name was Alessandra. She was born in Florence, Italy, to a wealthy merchant family. Like so many saints that we hear about, her mother died at a very young age, and so she was raised primarily by her father, and the Blessed Virgin Mary became Alessandra's mother in a very special way. At some point, she was sent to live at the convent of Montevicelli, which is located in Florence. Her aunt, Luisa de Ricci, was a nun there. She spent many years growing up in the convent. She came out of the convent at an early age, only to join the Dominican convent at Pratt, located at Tuscany. It was there that she took the name Catherine. She was around 14 when she joined the convent. While still very young, she became the novice mistress. At a still tender age, she became sub-prioress of her convent, and at the age of 25, became the perpetual prioress. Her reputation for sanctity led many to visit her. These included three future popes: Cervini, the future Pope Marcella II, Alexander de Medicis, the future Clement VIII, and Aldo Brandini, the future Leo XI. She also regularly corresponded with St. Philip Neri. Interestingly, while she was still living, she would appear to him in Rome. And she was very widely known for her ecstasy of the passion, which she experienced either from noon or 4 p.m. on Thursday until 3 p.m. every Friday. She was known for at least four miracles, two physical and two spiritual. In the first physical mystery, the nuns at the monastery where she lived, which was San Vincenzo, St. Vincent Ferrer, the nuns discovered that the grain had spoiled, had gone bad. And grain was very important in that day and age to making food. So it was really vital. St. Catherine prayed, and then she entered the granary where she walked upon the spoiled grain in bare feet. Miraculously, the grain was restored, and the nuns could eat foods made from it. The second physical miracle by St. Catherine was where the convent had caught fire. She prayed and made the sign of the cross over the fire, and the fire miraculously went out. And then there were two spiritual miracles. The first was that the daughter of one of the prominent families near the convent allowed herself to be overcome by evil. The young woman then feigned a desire for holiness and requested entry into Catherine's convent at San Vincenzo. The young woman was accepted, and she began to live a life of apparent holiness based on her asceticism and patient acceptance of the suffering she experienced due to several severe illnesses. In addition, the young woman would remain in herself from Thursday at midday through late afternoon on Friday. This behavior gave the appearance that she was experiencing a similar mystical experience of the Lord's Passion to that that Catherine was experiencing. All of her behavior gave rise to many of the sisters believing in the deep holiness of this young woman. However, doubts began to arise among some others, including the priest confessor, because the young woman never revealed anything of her interior life to him, and neither did she request advice or spiritual direction. Some of the older sisters also expressed doubts because of the reserve which the young woman kept. Catherine herself eventually realized that all of this was a ruse, and she joined with several other sisters in praying for the defeat of the enemy. At this point in time, the young woman, under such strong possession, listened to the voices of evil and tread upon the crucifix in her cell, and she soon stood on the brink of hell with her denouncing Christ. Warned by her guardian angel, Catherine went to the young woman's cell and entered into it. Despite the great evil present, Catherine remained with the young woman and through her prayer and sacrifice was able to convince her of the great mercy of the Lord, who alone could save her. The young woman then requested to make a general confession, which she did. Through her deep repentance, she turned completely from the evil that had threatened her eternal state. Several days later, she died in peace, having received the mercy of the Lord and in full reconciliation with God, as was revealed to Catherine. The fourth miracle was also a spiritual miracle. In September of the same year as these other miracles, a young thief was sentenced to be executed for his crimes. This was an unexpected turn of events for the man who had only expected to serve time in prison. As a result of his impending death, he became inconsolable and hardened. During those days, there were groups called the Brothers of Good Death who sought to minister to men sentenced to die in order to help them prepare for a holy death through repentance and trust in the mercy of God. With this thief, their efforts proved to be in vain. He had no interest in what they had to say. Thus, the brothers appealed to Catherine to pray for the man, which she readily agreed to do, and continued to do so for some time. Not many days after she began to pray for him, the man had a genuine conversion. He felt a great remorse for his crimes, repented of them, and began to peacefully prepare for his death. The young man accepted his capital punishment and offered up his suffering and death for reparation for the sins he had committed. The man reasoned that if our innocent Lord was willing to suffer and die, he who had sinned against God and man should be willing to accept a just sentence for his sins. On the day of his death, the bells were rung to announce that the sentence had been carried out. Sister Maddalena Strozzi heard them and encouraged Catherine to pray again for the young man. Catherine's reply was that she indeed had been praying all morning and would continue to do so. Later, Sister Maddalena asked Catherine if she had hope for salvation. Catherine replied that she did indeed believe the man had been saved through God's mercy. St. Catherine died after a long illness in 1589. St. Catherine de Ricci, pray for us. Okay. Excuse me. Now, while Father's with us, I want him to talk a little bit about fiducia supplicans and why Pope Francis made the right decision. Father, it's all yours.
Well, Richard, I want to thank you for that synopsis of the saint of the day. It was very edifying. It's just an honor to be with you, to pray with you. And it's interesting that I had, being 72 years old, had forgotten in the middle of the day. I celebrated Mass at the Pregnancy Resource Center this morning, did my Liturgy of the Hours, listened to my Liturgy of the Hours on the way there before I left, and then prayed the rosary on the way back. And I lamented the fact that I didn't get my Divine Mercy chaplet done, forgetting that I was doing this with you this afternoon. And then what a nice, right, surprise to realize.
Absolutely.
To the Divine Mercy chaplet with Richard this afternoon. As far as fiducius supplicans, I could go on and on and on for a long time, but let's just take a few moments and put this all in perspective. As a parish priest, as a pastor of 10 years, I'm retired now, but I was a pastor for 10 years, parish priest for 11 years, pro-life activist for 30 years. And so, you know, I've been in the front lines against evil for a long, long time, battling the culture of death. And I will tell you, and I will tell everyone listening, that fiducius supplicans, as far as this declaration of blessings, has no issues. There's no problems in it. And I say that insofar as a parish priest who is in a situation to give pastoral blessings, liturgical blessings, pastoral blessings, sacramental blessings all the time, different types of circumstances to any number of different types of people. This declaration does not force me to do anything that I would not do in good conscience. It does not. As a matter of fact, if anything, it says you must not, you cannot bless an immoral relationship, all right, such as a same-sex relationship, a same-sex union. You cannot bless that relationship. And you can only bless, all right, in a sacramental way, irregular relationships that now are without impediment and where the people are truly interested and desirous of having their marriage, their relationship blessed in the church. That's called a convalidation. So the most significant blessing that the church has is a convalidation. It's a formal blessing of a relationship of two people who maybe were in a domestic relationship because they were divorced and remarried, now got their annulments, they're free of impediments, and they now want to get married in the church. Their marriage is, or their relationship is convalidated, okay? There are strict circumstances in regards to that, and of course, fiducius supplicans does not change in any way, shape, or form the church's guidelines in terms of doing a convalidation. In the same-sex relationship, there can never be a convalidation. It can never be a sacramental blessing because, of course, that relationship violates the unitive and procreative aspects of marriage. But the document goes on and talks about any number of other situations and types of blessings, ascended blessings, descending blessings, non-liturgical blessings, spontaneous blessings. I lump them under pastoral blessings. And it does not require any priest or any bishop to do any blessings that they're not comfortable doing, right? Now, of course, I never pass up an opportunity to give a blessing. People come to me all the time and ask me for a blessing. The first thing I tell them is, well, Father Steve does not give blessings of and in and of himself. All right? If we think about the blessing at the end of Mass, the priest says, may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So what the priest is doing in giving a blessing, he's asking God to bless person or persons that are asking for the blessing, right? Whether God blesses them or not is entirely up to their disposition, and God will bless them in a way they need to be blessed. For instance, if they're not in a state of grace, God will hopefully give them the grace, the actual grace, to come to conversion, to come to repentance, right?
Yes, sir.
So no priest is required or obligated to do a blessing that he's not comfortable with. But I would never, ever pass up an opportunity to pray over anyone, no matter what state of life they're in. And, of course, being a priest, I would like to end the prayer in a blessing. And so, for instance, in a scenario that's presented to me all the time, right? Father, two men come up to you and they're holding hands. They're obviously in a same-sex relationship. And they ask you for a blessing. What would you do? I would say, I'll gladly pray over you. And I put my hands over them. And out loud, I would say, Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to bestow your graces upon this couple, upon these two individuals, and show them your will, give them the strength to do your will, bless them with the grace of charity, of chastity, of conversion, of repentance, Lord, that they may draw closer to you. And then I could go on and on and on, but then I would end, and Lord, I ask you to bless this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, have I blessed them? Yes. Have I blessed their relationship? No. Right? No. Have I blessed them as a couple? Well, as individuals in a couple, as fiducia super constant, but there's people who are going to say, well, no, you blessed them as a couple, but what was wrong with that blessing? What was wrong with that prayer? As a matter of fact, would you prefer I pray that prayer over them, asking our Lord to bless the prayer at the end, as opposed to just blowing them off and saying, nah, I'm sorry, obviously you guys are in a same-sex relationship, I can't bless you, and then them never being open, all right, to being prayed over again, never being open possibly to coming to conversion, to coming to repentance, to coming to the virtue of chastity. So this whole idea that this is so scandalous, that this is so outrageous, is coming from people who don't understand the pastoral context and the circumstances around these different blessings, as a priest would, or they don't understand exactly what the Holy Father is trying to do with these blessings. He's trying to do what Jesus did, and Jesus, through his 3 years of ministry, tried to draw all people to himself, especially sinners. Now, people may say, Father, Jesus only ate and drank and hung out and gave blessings to repentant sinners. We hear this all the time, and that's not true. Matter of fact, I preached this in my homily today. When you think about the thousand, because, of course, the gospel today was about the multiplication of loaves and fishes, alluding to more than one, right? And there could have been three or more multiplication of loaves and fishes with Jesus. Blessed thousands and thousands and thousands of people over the course of Jesus' public ministry, cast out demons of dozens, if not hundreds, and cured hundreds of people, ate with them, drank with them, hung out with them, taught them, prayed with them, blessed them, prayed over them, right, for the 3 years, right? Now, I ask everybody out there, out of all those thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were blessed by Jesus in the 3 years, how many of them were at the foot of the cross? How many of them, where were they, and how many of them were present at Good Friday? Well, there were a lot of them present at Good Friday yelling, crucify him, crucify him, right? It wasn't until the Holy Spirit came down upon the church at Pentecost and the apostles started preaching, filled with the Holy Spirit, that all of the seeds that Jesus planted through his multitude of blessings in the 3 years of his ministry started to bear fruit when these people finally came to conversion. Imagine if Jesus just blew these people off for 3 years, did not bless them in any way. Do you think these people would have been properly disposed to come to conversion after the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles in Pentecost? So I have to say to those who have doubts about the Duceus Supplicans, who have doubts about what the Holy Father is trying to do with these blessings, do not be a Pharisee. Do not be like the older brother who got angry at his father for blessing the younger brother. Do not be like the Pharisee who's in the back of the church saying, thank God I am not like this tax collector here, right? We don't want to be like them. We want to be open to those people who are struggling in their sinfulness, who are seeking some type of grace, some type of understanding of Jesus, right? And again, Fiducia Supplicans gives us another tool by which we can draw sinners to ourselves and hopefully lead them in some small way to eternal salvation.
Amen. And I just want to share with everybody out there that Father and I had probably 3 or 4 days after Fiducia Supplicans had come out, he and I had a very similar conversation because I was on the opposite side of the road and he showed me the error of my thoughts. So I am grateful for that, Father. You saved my soul that day.
I appreciate that. All right, Jesus loves you, and Jesus bestowed the Holy Spirit upon you, and Jesus is the one who saves us, right? But I'm glad that I could in some small way. But Richard, in all fairness, prior to October 2nd, I was probably pretty much where you were. As a matter of fact, you know, on Facebook they have these memories that come up every single day. And I have to chuckle because I was always conflicted since the Holy Father became Pope. I was always conflicted about the Pope, and I have said some incredibly critical things of the Pope over the years, but also in my memories I see how critical I was of myself for being too critical of the Pope. And it wasn't until October 2nd when the dubious from the summertime became public prior to the synod in October that my eyes were open and I began to realize what's really going on here and that there are a certain segment in Catholic media, Catholic influencers who are really doing bad by the Pope. They're lying about the Pope, slandering the Pope. As a matter of fact, we see it today all over social media, National Catholic Register, LifeSite News, John Henry Weston, talking about how the Holy Father is open to ordaining women to the diaconate. And that's what the headlines are reading, that the Holy Father says he's open to ordaining women to the diaconate, right? Whereas when you read the article, it's all hearsay. It's all second and third sources based on this nun who's in her opinion. She's not a Catholic nun. In her opinion, the Holy Father is open to ordaining women. But the Holy Father said over and over and over again, we cannot ordain women, that ordination, the sacrament of ordination, is reserved for men and men only. So this is the types of things that are going on. And it's confusing the faithful. It is rising the faithful up, causing the faithful to rise up against the Pope. All right, there's lies, there's slander, material schism. I mean, we have bigoto and formal schism. I call it the march down Altman Road towards bigoto cliff. And I'm encouraging anyone who may be going down Altman Road towards bigoto cliff, please, please, please. The only way we can say we are one with the church is if we are one with the Holy Father. Does that mean that the Holy Father is impeccable? He is not impeccable. He is not impeccable. the great saints. How many great saints were not impeccable? Saint Francis, right? You know, other than the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint John the Baptist, and Saint Joseph, there may have been no impeccable saints, right? So, you know, we need to become reasonable. We need to give a modicum of charity to the Holy Father, the benefit of the doubt, pray for him, fast for him, but also stand by him. He is not a heretic. He is legitimate, Holy Father, elected legitimately, all right, and the Holy Spirit is working in his church, his bride, the church, through the Holy Father. And we need to trust that he has not changed any church teaching, and he's not going to change any church teaching. So, again, we can disagree on some of the things that he does. All right, I'm not in total agreement with him. I'm not going to enumerate where I have disagreements with him, but I will tell you that doctrinally he has not changed anything, and we need to understand that what he's trying to do is reach out to those who are on the margins of society, these people who are steeped in sin, and trying to draw them into the church, all right, to the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the movement of the Holy Spirit can move them towards our eternal salvation.
And that absolutely needs to be done, because I don't think for a second that Jesus would leave them hanging by the side of the road.
Not if he was walking the earth for sure.
Jesus would be
all his time with them.
I think he'd be reaching his hand out saying, come with me.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be spending all his time with the marginalized. He surely wouldn't be spending all his time with the modern-day Pharisees, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to remember, people say the Pope is confusing, you know. Look, Jesus even admitted that sometimes he was purposefully confusing, right, in using parables, right? But Jesus was confusing. The holy apostles were confused all the time. They were scandalized all the time, every night. They asked him questions. They were confused, right? So it's a matter today, who is really doing the confusing? Who is really creating the divisions, right? These people who create the confusion and create the divisions call people like me Pope-splainers. Oh, what it would be if everyone was a Pope-splainer, if everybody gave the Pope the benefit of the doubt and tried to explain in that benefit of the doubt exactly what the Holy Father is trying to do and try to clarify what he's saying instead of lying and putting out falsehoods about what he's saying or what he's thinking or what his intent is. This is not of God. This is not good. And again, I thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day for opening up my eyes in October. And I am at peace for the first time since 2013 when he was elevated to Pope. I was always conflicted about him. And now I'm totally and completely at peace about him.
Exactly. And I feel exactly the same way. It's like a layer has been peeled away from my eyes.
Right. Exactly.
So John hung up on it, so I guess I'll do the daily update. And the daily update is that this evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, John is going to start his countdown. Today is 9 months until he leaves for the Holy Land, so he's going to start his countdown show tonight and talk about that, and that's going to be at 7 Eastern. Luke's show did not happen last night, and I don't know why. Right now, I don't know when it's going to be rescheduled for, but as soon as I know something, I will let all of you out there know something. On Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, excuse me, I just quit smoking again, y'all. So I'm smoking up all the junk that, or coughing up all the junk that I smoked in over the years. So anyway, on Friday morning at 7 Eastern, Ken on the Catholic Ken Hour is going to either have an interview. He told me the other day he's got an interview tentatively scheduled, and if that interview falls through, then he's going to answer common questions on Catholicism. And then on Saturday morning at 11 Eastern, we've got Catholicism Rocks, and I don't know what the topic for Catholicism Rocks is going to be this week. And then at noon on Burnt Toast and Coffee with William Hemsworth, William is going to be talking about whether the church fathers preached about the rapture. And that's going to be an interesting show to listen to. And then on March 2nd, our own Lisa Marie Nicole will be doing the Rockin' with God podcast. And on that show, she is going to have a Nashville recording artist by the name of, and I can never remember this guy's name. Where's his name? Andrew Dean. I keep wanting to say Arthur Dean, but it's Andrew Dean. So you're not going to want to miss that. And I'm thinking that John and I will probably, again, do a simulcast over the Four Persons Network. And so that's what's going on around the network these days, guys. And with that, I'm going to ask Father to give us all of God's blessing, and then we will call it a day. Or maybe Father's not with us anymore.
Wait a second, I'm here.
Oh, darn it, I hung up on him. I'm sorry, Father, I did not mean to hang up on you. I had started to hit the button when you said, wait a second, you're here. So anyway, friends, I thank you for joining us for this expanded show today. And I want you to have a blessed rest of your day and a blessed Wednesday. And remember, guys, tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. It's not a holy day of obligation, but so many Catholics go to Mass on Ash Wednesday, so don't forget to get your ashes. And so I want you to have a blessed Ash Wednesday, and I will see you at 3:30 Eastern right back here. And until then, I want you to have a blessed day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Good day, guys.